Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, it is a final hour of power with Tom Levin. I'm merely the rooster, Chris Russ. PJ Elliott on the other side, as you just heard. Good to have you with us right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan and the Radio.com app. You coming know, up later on this hour, we're going to talk about great linebackers.
Yes, there was a list, Bleacher Report put together of the 50 greatest linebackers in the NFL history since 1970. And we're going to debate some of that as well with our top 10 to some extent. But Russell, I hear you say you're merely the rooster. And I think this is an important thing because, like Clint Eastwood said, a man's got to know his limitations. So I appreciate that you recognize that.
I have many limitations.
You've grown.
I have. Yes. A lot of people think I'm like this egomaniac who is out of control and who has this highly inflated view of himself. If there's anything I've learned in 25 years of being in this business, it's that, how do I say this nicely? The best way I could say this is what you once thought of yourself could not be further from the truth.
Okay.
Or from reality. Or at least that's how many others of powerful decision-making ability think of you and view you. So you have to be true to yourself to some degree. You always have to be true to yourself to some degree. But man, do you get knocked down a bunch of pegs in this industry.
Well, but,
and it's not a fair industry, I can tell you that much.
You've come to grips with that.
But I also don't think that I had this... I also don't think I was as much of an egomaniac as others think I was.
Okay.
Because I think you think I was, right?
No, I don't particularly think you were an egomaniac. I'd be honest with you, I didn't pay attention that much to recognize whether you were an egomaniac or not. I was too busy paying attention to me. Okay?
See, this is what I have to deal with. I mean, I don't know why I say that. First of all, it's awkward for me to refer to myself as the rooster, but being that the whole damn radio station does, and I've got all these gifts and whatever, you know, you have to kind of... Here's the thing, Levero. You have to kind of embrace whatever craziness and stupidity and ridiculousness this industry and this world of ours brings in a society where everything lasts and has a shelf life of about 30 seconds, right? You have to embrace it. But, you know, like, I don't, while I embrace it, I don't necessarily super tout it. You know, it's not like I'm, you know... Like, I even hesitate to always say my name. I'm just like, whatever. I mean, people either know me or they don't know me or they don't care. You know?
Well, you have to operate under the assumption that in this business that every time you come back from a break, somebody just may have tuned in for the first time. So you're doing the professional thing when you do that. And you got to operate under the philosophy of just let the good times roll, buddy.
Let the good... What do they say down in New Orleans? That's the French equivalent of that? I can never
pronounce it.
Yeah,
but I went to a bar down there a couple of months ago. That name is the name of the bar.
I know it, and I can't think of it, and I don't want to butcher it. So I just, out of respect for that, I will not do it. But,
but it's kind of the way I live.
Boy, they know how to...
Yes.
Boy, do they know how to let the good times roll down in New Orleans. All right, so... One thing we wanted to get to here, Tommy, and kind of have a initial debate. There's been so much talk, and we've talked about Adrian Peterson's comments about it, about who will be ultimately the Redskins starting. We don't even know who's going to start game one in Cleveland of the preseason. I mean, I think it'll be Case Keenum, but I have no idea. Never mind week one of the NFL season.
Right.
Again, I think it'll be Case Keenum.
In Philadelphia.
I think it'll be Case Keenum, but that's only based on what I've seen so far, and a lot can change over the next 6 weeks, as we know. But you have that debate, and clearly many, if not everyone, thinks quarterback is the number one issue, the number one position, the number one question. If you have two, you don't have any. I don't know what it means if you have three. Does that mean you have none? Does that mean you have half a one? Does that mean you have one? I don't know. But you have this debate, and we, again, talked about all three guys having a legitimate crack at the pie here. But then you have this other debate of, who the hell is going to be on the offensive line for the Washington Redskins, and specifically at left tackle with Trent Williams, because we don't know if he's going to hold out. I believe he will hold out. I believe you will not see Trent Williams in the preseason. I don't believe he reports, if he reports at all, until mid-August at the earliest. I could be totally wrong on that. Maybe he'll surprise me.
I agree with you. I don't think you'll see him at training camp until he's either forced to relent or get what he wants.
Okay, so that being said, regardless of when he reports, assuming that he does report, to me, the bigger question that we should all be worried about and we should all be debating is not who's going to be the starting quarterback, but it's how is this team going to protect whoever it is, and how is this team going to run block well enough in cohesion, especially if Trent Williams is either A, not back from his own exile, or B, if he gets injured or whatever. This should be the bigger question. The offensive line, because without that offensive line, and considering they have a lot of money invested in it, without that resource on this very expensive offense, Tommy, they are absolutely nothing. They don't have a chance whether Santa Claus is the starting quarterback.
Listen, Dwayne Haskins bought himself a Rolls Royce shortly after he got drafted. If Trent Williams isn't at left tackle, he should have bought an ambulance. That's what he should have done if Trent Williams isn't at left tackle. And let's say, I think when the season starts, Trent Williams will be at left tackle.
Week one in Philadelphia.
But,
gotcha.
Well, think about this. This offensive line, as constituted right now, has Ereck Flowers as a starter.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute. Would you want to get behind center with Ereck Flowers holding your life in his hands?
No.
Would you want to run the ball with Ereck Flowers leading the way for you?
But here's what I would say. Look, Ereck Flowers is not as good as Ty Anseki, and I would never say that he is. But I would also say this. People are way, 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 way overreacting to Ereck Flowers being like, is he good? No. Is he a starter at the point? No.
I heard he was hide your eyes bad in camp.
He wasn't good at all. When he was at left tackle, he was awful. But there were others that were awful too. Like, nobody was good during camp. I mean, every practice I saw, they sucked. They all sucked. It got a little bit better when Tyler Catalina went in there and Wes Martin got a little more comfortable. But again, this was without Brandon Scherff and without Chase Roullier.
Yes.
And I know that doesn't matter for every instance when you're just evaluating the left tackle. But if we're talking about offensive line constantly being this cohesive unit and this group and this group blocking effort, communication and cohesion and playing together and having all the pieces that you originally designed does matter. And even a guy like Ereck Flowers, like if he could play next to, again, a somewhat comfortable rookie in Wes Martin, and then Chase Roullier, who played every snap, and then Brandon Scherff and Morgan Moses, is he going to be great? No. Is he going to Canton? Absolutely not. Is he going to play in the Pro Bowl? Of course not. But is he going to be better than he was on a couple of Tuesdays in May and early June at Redskins? Yes!
Chris.
Of course he's going to be better.
Remember the swinging gate play that Jim Thorne had?
Sure.
They're going to call it the Ereck Flowers Memorial play because Ereck Flowers will be a swinging gate.
I don't think he'll be that bad.
Oh, I think he would literally be cover your eyes bad.
He allowed, I think according to Pro Football Focus, for you take that for whatever it's worth, 2 sacks in 7.5 games in Jacksonville.
Right.
Again, that's not good. Trent Williams allowed 1 sack in 13 games. Again, some idiot on Twitter is going, I heard you say that Ereck Flowers was... No, dummy. I did not say that Ereck Flowers was better than Trent Williams. What I'm saying is, I don't think the season's over if Ereck Flowers has to play any amount of time at left tackle. Do I want him to? No. Do I want him to compete at left guard? Yeah. So do they. Let me tell you something. Bill Callahan has loved Ereck Flowers since 2015 coming out of the draft. The reason why Ereck Flowers is on the Redskins is because Bill Bill Callahan has loved him for a long time. I know that for a fact. And Bill Callahan told us that just a couple of weeks ago, but I've known it since 2015 because I've been reporting, essentially, that the Redskins liked Bill Callahan because I knew Eric Flowers, because I knew Callahan liked him.
And people,
now, that doesn't mean he liked him more than Brandon Scherff, but they liked Eric Flowers coming out. So there's something there, a big, strong body. It can be developed, Tommy, with time, and especially
people,
if you're not asking them to be on an island.
People say that you're not positive for the Redskins. This might be literally the most positive outlook I've heard from anybody about the Washington Redskins this season.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I am more concerned about the offense. Granted, I don't want Eric Flowers starting at left tackle or right tackle or any tackle. I am more concerned about the Redskins offensive line, Tommy, and the short-term future and the long-term, because I think the Brandon Scherff contract is going to be a disaster. I think
they could always franchise.
They can, but I don't think Brandon Scherff is staying. I could be wrong on this. My sense is I don't think Brandon Scherff is staying here long term. I don't think they're going to pay him what the market says. I don't think Trent Williams is going to be here any more than this year, if he's even here this year. I think this offensive line is going to look really, really different in 2 years, as many do. But I don't think it's the fabric, the heartbeat of this football team. And I think people nationally and a lot locally are going to be so focused on the quarterback situation that they are forgetting about what wins football games, how you win football games, how you build a championship contender, and quite honestly, how the Dallas Cowboys have been so successful over the last couple of years. It's because of their offensive line, not because of Dak Prescott. It's because of their offensive line. That's just me. That's the bigger concern to me. 800-636-1067, along with Tom Lavera. We're going to get into great NFL linebackers. Tommy found this. We're going to kind of debate and kind of shorten it up a little bit. We invite you, once we get into the topic in the remaining part of the show, we will set it up next. And is there any Redskins, any Redskin flavor that we can kind of look at and incorporate into this? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 on the Fan. All right, good to have you with us on a Sunday. Don't forget Sunday Night Baseball coming up. 7:07, I guess, the scheduled first pitch. Nats and Braves. From SunTrust Park in Atlanta, turn down that TV volume, baby, and turn up Charlie Slow's Dave Jagler right here on the Fan and the Nationals Radio Network as the Nats look for 3 out of 4. Tommy, with training camp starting, it's already started for the Denver Broncos and for the Atlanta Falcons, who will play in the Hall of Fame game coming up shortly in Canton, Ohio, in about a week and a half or so, a week plus ahead of the Redskins preseason opener and all that. One of the things that we wanted to kind of kick around is the greatness of linebackers in the so-called modern era. Say, let's call it 1970 and forward. Is that
right? So fair? There's no Ray Nitschke, no Dick Butkus,
right?
On things like that. No Sam Huff,
right? Well, honoring those like guys unbelievable players and all that.
And I got to come clean here, Russell. Got to let the audience behind the curtain a little bit. This was my idea until Russell told me about 5 minutes ago that the link that I sent him is from a story from 2010.
It's okay.
I mean, I didn't see that.
That's okay.
I didn't notice that, but I was so enthralled by the list and the debate about greatest linebackers that I didn't pay attention to that. It was a 2010 list. But what was good in 19... Again, it starts from 1970. We can update it to include 2019.
Right.
And come up with players that we think should be on the list. But the one thing that was stunning to me, no matter when it came out, is there is literally one Washington Redskin of note on this list at linebacker. I mean, Jesse Armstead is on the list, but he was with the Redskins for a cup of coffee.
Right.
Jeremiah Trotter is on the list. Again, a cup of coffee, not a Redskin. He's an Eagle.
He was expected to do more.
Yes. Jesse Armstead was a Giant.
Right.
Wilbur Marshall is the only Redskin linebacker of note on this list of top 50. I just thought that was stunning.
And again, this was through 2010.
Right.
And it was basically starting right around 1970. So as we expand it out now, Tommy, to 2019, I think it's only fair to point out that while Wilbur Marshall, again, the only legitimate Redskin at the time on this particular list, and this was done by Scott Waddell, again, back in 2010, and this was a 40-year kind of look and period of linebackers, to me, when we're talking, if we're talking...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talking top 50 of the modern era, I got to put London Fletcher and I got to put Ryan Kerrigan on that list.
Ryan Kerrigan?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd put Ryan Kerrigan.
In the modern era? I mean, just for instance, okay? If you look at his list, he does give you a couple of modern, honorable mentions, right? Guys like Jason Gilden and Lofa Tatupu and even Bill Romanowski, right? But he starts his list. And again, this is from 1970 through 2010. So we don't have the 9 years here to work into this. Brian Cox, linebacker number 50. Vaughn Johnson, number 49, a four-time Pro Bowler and a one-time second-team All-Pro. And then he goes down the list. He's got Terrell Suggs, a fairly young Terrell Suggs at that point, only halfway through his career, at number 48. Clearly, he would be much, 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 much higher. But London Fletcher, and I say Kerrigan, only because, Tommy, to me, Kerrigan, the one thing he gives you more than sacks, and he gets double-digit sacks every year. He's not great at stopping the run, even though some people think he's better than I think he is. The one thing he gives you is something that almost no NFL player gives you nowadays, and it's why the Redskins screwed up so badly with the Kirk Cousins situation, is durability and dependability. You cannot buy that. You cannot replace that. You cannot find that in today's day and age of injury, and soft athletes and guys breaking down, especially on this team. Maybe I overvalue it. Maybe I overrate it. I'm sure I do. But it was part of my argument for Kirk Cousins, why the Redskins should have taken care of him, why the Vikings did. And it's part of, honestly, my evaluation of Ryan Kerrigan. Almost every game in his NFL career, he has been there.
I'm not going to say it's ridiculous that Ryan Kerrigan would be on the top 50 list. I think it's plausible. I'd have to look at it more. I do think that London Fletcher should be in the top 50 list of best linebackers over the past 50 years,
right,
to play in the NFL. So I do think London Fletcher should be on that list as well. But I'm telling you, my issue is, and this is what happens when you have children in the media, is my issue is with the people who were left off on this list at the beginning when it started in 1970. I'm going to tell you a Redskin when we come back that should definitely be on this list that was left off. Should probably be the highest ranked Redskin of all.
That's a hell of a tease. I love that tease. We're going to end this segment right then and there and actually hit the time at the bottom of the hour for the first time today on time. That's Tom Lavero. He just gave you Radio 101. Make sure you stay tuned for that. PJ Elliott with the latest sports flash right here on the Fan on the Radio.com app. All right, along with Tom Lavero, you read him in the Washington Times, WashingtonTimes.com. Chris Russell. Nats baseball Sunday night style coming up tonight. Charlie and Dave behind the mics, SunTrust Park in Atlanta. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Redskins training camp opening Thursday. I know Grant and Danny will be down there for the first couple of days, and then everybody will kind of rotate in between. But we were talking about NFL linebackers, and it was based off of this study of the top 50 in the, at that point, the modern era when this column, when this thing was written back in 2010, which was a 40-year period, say, from 1970 through 2010.
I have a little hard time catching up sometimes.
It's okay. See, to me, I always take the concept and then I expand it and kind of formulate it for us, Tommy. So you did a Radio 101 tease. Excellent, excellent, excellent tease. You had a problem with somebody who was of Redskins lore who was left off of the top 50 list that we were referring to that gave us the genesis of this idea. I was trying to advocate for London Fletcher and Ryan Kerrigan. That's a whole nother issue. You had a problem with somebody being left off because what? Wilbur Marshall
was the only Redskin
was the only
linebacker,
true Redskin that was
on the list. And again, this is what happens when you have children who are allowed behind a computer in the media.
Mm-hmm.
They have no concept of history. They think the world began when they were born. Chris Hamburger is a Hall of Famer. Chris Hamburger's career spanned from 1965 to 1978. So he played 8 years
during the period 70s. That this study was going on.
He was an All-Pro in 72,
mm-hmm.
All-Pro, 72, 73, 75, 76. Second team All-Pro in 74. Chris Hamburger has got to be on that list. And got to be high on that list.
By the way, he's Hall of Famer.
Yes. You know? I'll tell you what. Here's another guy who should be on that list. Again, from the early 70s. I'm going to tell you about a guy who's a legend in NFL circles, whose name is almost whispered among veteran players from the 1960s and 70s. Linebacker from the Kansas City Chiefs, Bobby Bell.
Mm.
Bobby Bell is considered one of the greatest football players of any era. Bobby Bell was 6'4", 230 pounds, and ran a 4.5 40. Bobby Bell, his career ran from 63 to 74. He was he was named to the 1970s, since we're starting this in the 70s, all-decade team. Bobby Bell is considered the most physically gifted linebacker in NFL history and one of the greatest open field tacklers. He scored 9 touchdowns in his career, 6 interceptions, 2 fumbles, and 1 onside kick.
Wow.
Bobby Bell has to be on that list and high on that list. Now, the list includes, for their top 10, I think it starts with Lawrence Taylor.
Right. And he's number one.
He's everybody's number one. Most people wouldn't argue with that.
No.
And Ray Lewis is number two, and I wouldn't argue with that either.
Right.
But then Bobby Bell, for me, is number three on the list. Then it goes, you know, Derek Thomas. I think he's a top 10. You know, Jack Ham.
No doubt.
Jack Lambert from those great Steelers teams. Brian Urlacher. Derek Brooks. But I tell you, Bobby Bell has got to be, I don't know if Chris Hamburger's in the top 10, but Bobby Bell has got to be in the top 10. And Chris Hamburger is one of the best 50 linebackers to play the game since 1970.
Absolutely, in the modern era. That's a great call by you. Absolutely. I'm glad we teed that up. I'm glad you teed that up. And we got that because we, you know, that's kind of inexcusable. And like you said, what happens when you have much younger people that don't have the full perspective?
My term is children.
You know, until I moved here and until I started, you know, working around the team and you know, whatever. I didn't have any book on Chris Hamburger
He wasn't on the Super Bowl teams of the 80s. He was on the George Allen teams, and he was a Redskin before George Allen came.
Right.
But he was one of the smartest guys on the team. He was like a coach on the field, called all the defenses, was an undersized linebacker who accomplished all this. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Quick question for you. In today's game, okay, so we're not talking LT, we're not talking Ray Lewis, we're not talking Urlacher now. In today's game, is there any linebacker, you know, that just does it for you, that you really enjoy watching, that you say, okay, maybe not must watch every single snap ISO cam style, but somebody that just really you enjoy watching and appreciate?
Well, I think he's banged up, and I don't think he'll ever be the same, but Sean Lee.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
For the Cowboys. And the reason I do that...
That's a really good one.
...is because I had Chris Thompson on my as a guest on my old podcast that I used to do, Cigars and Curveballs.
Yes.
And I asked him...
It's a very fine podcast.
And I asked him, who were the guys that were the toughest for him to play against when he was on the field? And he said Sean Lee was one of the smartest players in the league. And I watched him a lot after that. And, like, he's had some problems staying healthy. Mm-hmm. But he's a guy I watch. Who's the linebacker from the Panthers?
Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, that's another
guy. He's also had some injury issues. I mean, obviously, it's a physical sport.
Those are the two guys that jump off the page for me right now.
It's interesting that, you know, you pick those two guys because neither guy is a quote-unquote sack artist, right? I think most people nowadays, if they're asked to pick a great linebacker, Tommy, it's going to be an edge guy. You know, it's going to be...
Like a DeMarcus Ware or something like that.
Yeah, DeMarcus Ware, Tom Bahaly, you know, somebody like that, you know, somebody that Clay Matthews, and that Clay Matthews obviously played inside, outside.
Right.
The point of the matter is it's going to be, people are going to think sacks first as opposed to diagnose ability, explosive ability, how smart you are. I think Sean Lee, I mean, I thought he would be a pretty good pro despite being a little undersized and all that stuff. And, you know, coming out, I never thought he would be as smart and as good as he was. And you're absolutely right. He hasn't had some injuries. He's had a lot of great. Now, he hasn't had Thomas Davis type three ACL tear injuries, but he's had a lot of concussions and just a lot of stuff like that.
The Seattle linebacker, Bobby, what's his name?
Bobby Wagner.
Bobby Wagner's another one.
Out of Utah State, he was one of my favorite players in the draft when he was coming out. I watched that guy, I was like something about him, I didn't think he would again be this good.
Yeah.
But there was something about him that I was like, oh man, the Redskins could really benefit from drafting that guy in like the fourth round. And I think he went in the second round, I want to say. For me, I do have a hard time, quite honestly, if you ask me like to set the linebacker position. Because right now it's more from defensive end into edge. And then I often separate inside linebackers from outside linebackers. I don't know if that's correct. I don't know if that's right. I almost look at it as two different positions.
Isn't there an inside linebacker coach and an outside linebacker coach for the
absolutely.
Team? So, of course, they separate them even in the coaching staff.
That's true.
So, yeah, that's reasonable.
That's true. Wagner is one of the guys that absolutely comes to mind in terms of a guy that I really, but what I don't know, Tommy, and this is what always drives me kind of crazy, how much of a product of the scheme is he? You know, is he just the perfect fit in what Seattle does and that's why he's so good? Or is he really that good and he can play in any scheme? That's what I never know about guys. And that's why I always tend to look at when we're talking about and evaluating players like that. Why I always tend to look at, again, those explosive edge pass rusher types, because I'd like to think that that is less scheme dependent. Even though it is scheme dependent, I think it's less scheme dependent than maybe an inside linebacker and covering up some of their blemishes.
Well,
does that make sense?
I guess so. Look, I mean, they're easier to spot.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I see the linebacker as the equivalent of the quarterback, and I respect the cerebral ones. I respect the guys. Like always, look, even though Will Compton stood me up numerous times for interviews when he was supposed to come on, he'd give me his phone number and then never answered the phone. But I always had tremendous respect for Will Compton because he was such a smart guy.
Will was one of my favorite players to cover.
And so I respect the cerebral linebackers because I see that as the quarterback of the defense often.
Yeah. He was definitely one of my favorite.
But I can't tell you how many times he stiffed me.
He was always good to me. I'm just teasing. I'm trying to think of somebody that really does it for me. I mean, I guess Kuechly is that guy. You know, people around here are not going to love this. Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch are going to be two monsters for the Redskins to deal with for the next couple of years with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I mean, they are just explosive as bleep, especially Jalen Smith.
Well, I'm sure Eric Flowers won't have a problem with those guys.
Ba-dum-bum. Tommy just flicking that knife. And again, for the record, I just want to be clear.
Oh, there's nothing clear about it, Russell.
I'm not advocating for Eric Flowers to start or be in the Hall of Fame. I'm just saying I don't think he's as bad as everybody makes him out to be. All right, we'll try and get to a couple of phone calls here if we can before the
and
end.
And we're also going to talk about the Manny Pacquiao
absolutely,
fight from last night.
Because I know you were in on that.
Yes, you
were in on that.
I was watching that.
It was a little bit of a surprise.
Something I got wrong.
We will talk a little sweet science when we close out the show next on 106.7 The Fan. So you spent your Saturday night watching the Sweet Science, Manny Pacquiao at it. We touched on this a little bit yesterday morning. First, when we talked about the unfortunate and sad death of Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker, but we also touched on this bout last night, Manny Pacquiao, and everybody had his doubts, and you said you were not such a believer in Manny Pacquiao, and
he won. Look, before we get to that, let's have a tribute to P.J. Elliott. The poll of Amos Moses is a Hall of Fame poll. That is amazing. That's one of the great...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jerry Reed songs of all time.
I skipped right over that because I had no file, but I should never doubt PJ Elliott.
It's a great song, and I'm like blown away. As we speak, but I'm almost as blown away as Keith Thurman was last night facing Manny Pacquiao, the younger, bigger, arguably stronger fighter, got taken to school by the 40-year-old veteran Manny Pacquiao, who, you know, I was wrong, gave him a tremendous fight. It was a split decision, but I don't know how any judge could have watched that fight and not think that Pacquiao won. He took the action to Thurman most of the night. He hurt Thurman with a devastating body shot in the 10th round. And he just dominated the fight. And now Manny Pacquiao is at the top again. I mean, he's totally recovered from that loss a few years ago to Floyd Mayweather. And then the follow-up loss, I forget, to the Australian fighter that he lost to. It was a terrible fight. And now he's back in the mix for any number of big fights at the welterweight division. I've had my doubts about Manny Pacquiao because over the years I suspected that he's gotten some enhancement help in order to move up so quickly in weight class and still retain his power punch. Most fighters, when they move up in weight as quickly as he did earlier, do not retain their power. So I've always been suspect of that. But you got to give him his due last night. Here's somebody else who got knocked out. You know Joe White, don't you? You remember Joe White? He covered the Redskins and Washington Sports for AP.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he retired a couple years ago, and he's been running a general store.
That's right.
In Staunton, Virginia. Well, a few months ago, he took a leave of absence.
Mm-hmm.
To basically follow a dream and hike the Appalachian Trail.
Mm.
And we had him on the show as a guest. He's, you know, the Appalachian Trail, he started in Georgia.
Right.
Okay. And we had him as a guest on the show when he got to Harper's Ferry, West Virginia.
Okay.
Now he's walking all this. He's hiking all this through the woods. And he was determined to, you know, it goes all the way up to Maine, the Appalachian Trail. And Joe was one of the great reporters in this town. He used to make Mike Shanahan so mad with the questions that he would ask him. And Joe's one of my favorites. In New York State, a few days ago, he slipped on some rocks.
Oh, no.
And he went to catch himself like people do when they fall. You reach out your hand to catch yourself falling, and he broke his wrist.
Ugh.
So he's had to, I'm sad to say, he's had to abandon his Appalachian Trail walk in New York State.
Wow.
So that's it. He's doing good. I follow him on Facebook, and he's been spending the time driving back down the trail and giving rides to people he's met along the way into town so they can eat food and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that's a tremendous accomplishment to try to hike the Appalachian Trail.
Joe, no doubt. Joe is always the best way to describe Joe, unique. March to the beat of his own drummer. I mean, he just kind of did what he thought was right. For him to give up, you know, his career to kind of do to open the store and to kind of do that just was very Joe.
Yes,
I guess is the best way.
He's an original
for him to do what you're talking about. Very Joe.
Yes,
is and sometimes quite honestly he you know like I know that I aggravate to no end, you know, because I mean, Joe's kind of old school, but kind of quirky. And I'm kind of all over the place. I'm a little old school, but I'm very new school and I'm loud and I'm arrogant and you know, all this stuff.
And those are your good qualities.
Yeah, exactly. So I know I drove Joe crazy, and we've had some times where we have battled on Twitter and in direct. Oh, he was so angry at me about a year ago. I don't even remember what it was about. But he was so angry with me, but I hate to hear bad news. And I hope he gets a chance to do that again.
He's got a cast on his wrist. I'm sure, you know, I don't know if he's ever going to try this again. This is probably it's a once in a lifetime commitment. You're making a 6-month commitment.
Sure.
When you're hiking the Appalachian Trail.
But there's nobody that I would have thought that I know that would have like even contemplated that other than Joe White.
No, let's face it, Russell. You and I are fine with hiking from the car to our front door.
Hey, listen, I hiked at Busch Gardens the other day.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. The famous Busch Gardens hike.
I mean,
I think I've seen that on National Geographic.
I mean, for 2 days, Tommy, I was up and down hills pushing my son in his special needs wheelchair, and he's got a little punch on him. I mean, he's not light. I mean, that was not easy. Your boy's calves were screaming for about 2 days afterwards.
Did you catch any of it on video? Can we see any of it?
No, you know, I mean, I didn't want to brag. I didn't want to show off my tremendous, not so girlish
physique.
Let
me just point something out, here, Russell. We were talking about Joe White, and now we're talking about you. Let me just point that out, Russell.
I know we were talking about weird, quirky things, and then you actually brought me into this.
No, I brought us into this.
Our version of
my
hiking was from the car to the radio station.
My next move wasn't about me.
Okay. I was just adding a little flavor to the story, Tom.
Well, you got that. You got some flavor.
A little bit
of hot peppers.
Well, you're the boss with the red hot sauce.
That's right.
I mean, I've got to try and add some flavor to add to you. As a matter of fact, when I go home later on today, I'm going to find me all sorts of condiments and all sorts of flavors so I can throw it into some ground turkey.
You do like to cook, don't you?
I do.
I hate to cook.
You got to make ground turkey taste like really good. That's not easy.
You got to disguise it.
You don't like to cook at all?
No, I hate cooking.
Really?
I mean, I hate cooking.
Really?
And my wife hates me for it because I hate cooking. Because she wants me to cook for her once in a while. And I used to once in a while, but finally.
Why do you hate it?
Well, because I don't know, because I don't get anything out of it.
You get food.
Yeah, I know. I can get food without cooking it. That's not a problem, Russell.
But you expect her to cook for you 7 days a week?
No, I don't expect her to cook either.
So you just, you are
I can
more
take
than,
care of myself.
So how do you, but you don't cook for yourself?
No.
So it's either you eat out or she cooks for you?
No, not necessarily.
Well,
if she cooks for me, it's her choice. It's not me. Trust me.
But if she doesn't cook for you, you're left with going out to eat or not eating.
Well, I can eat something. It's not cooking when you make a sandwich, Russell.
It's no big deal. I get that.
I mean, it's not that complicated. Let's keep it simple.
Okay.
But I admire that you like to cook.
I do love to cook. I don't love to clean. I love to cook. I do. It's kind of an art form.
And you left out the part that you like the most.
I like to eat.
There you go.
That's a problem. That's a problem because when you make really good food, then you like to eat it. All right. That's going to do it for us on this Sunday. Both of us are out next weekend. So Aaron Hawksworth will be in this time slot for PJ Elliott and Tom Lavero. Thanks to Peter Schmuck of the Baltimore Sun for joining us. Thank you guys for calling, listening, and being a part of the show. Have a great rest of the weekend. Don't forget Sunday Night Baseball. Nats looking for the series win in Atlanta. Adios.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.